Never mind.
Alright, so we're all set if you guys want to get started.
Okay. Have the commissioners had enough time to review whatever they need to review before we begin?
Yeah.
Helen, are you all set?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. Okay.
I'd just like to make sure everybody's good to go.
It's not dogs.
Is it recording?
Yep.
Okay.
You're ready.
Okay, we're going to call to order the... hearing of the Aberdeen Architectural Conservation District Commission of January 9th, 2020. In attendance today are Commissioners Lisa Keegan-Parcell, Helen Pillsbury, Sharon Cayley, staff member Nicholas Armada. First item on our agenda is design review application 20.682 AB Quarry Road and Williston Road. This is all the same applicant, so I'm just going to read through all the application numbers. The second is application number 20.681 AB, Commonwealth Avenue and Mount Hood Road. Third is application number 20.680 AB, Commonwealth Avenue and Sutherland Road. All the proposed work is replace existing light pole with identical pole at a cell phone antenna. So if you just want to approach and introduce yourself
sure,
for the
you.
Record,
yep.
Thank you.
And, my name is Michael Jamo, representing Verizon Wireless.
Thank you.
On this, and I'm their outside attorney. This is Will Perry, who's a real estate consultant for Verizon. And this is part of a program that Verizon has under an agreement with the city whereby to build out a small cell network, it replaces light poles with similar design light poles that have antennas and equipment attached to them. They're still city owned light poles. Verizon operates the equipment pursuant to this license agreement with the city. The light poles they build are or install are designs that match the approved designs that the city has for us under this agreement. And so in this case, we have three particular locations along Commonwealth Avenue. I don't know if you want to start in order. Or
yeah, let's just go one by
okay,
one. Would be great.
Sure.
Yeah.
And so, on the first one that I have is Commonwealth Avenue Sutherland Road, this is a double pendant type pole, and the antennas would be above the pole inside of an enclosed canister, and there would be a base with equipment in it, and then a replica of the style of pole that's there now to match the type of pole that's on the rest of the street. The lights are always reinstalled at the exact height that they were before because the city has asked us to do that. All the connections are underground, all the power connections and the fiber connections is underground. There's radio equipment in the base. Mass that goes above the light.
So the 6 feet taller comes from both the portion at the bottom and the portion at the top and the antenna?
No, the lights are at the exact same height as the other lights. So the base actually is just taking up height that was previously part of the pole itself.
Okay, so it is an additional 6 feet higher.
The top of that, that's right. So everything... above my finger, right? Everything I'm showing you now
right.
is the same pole, and then everything above my finger
right.
is additional height.
And that's 6 feet wide.
So it's this. It's because of this.
It's that
yeah.
piece
portion
up top. That's right. Yeah.
So that's 6 feet.
Yeah, and you know we've worked with the city, and I think the other carriers have too, to try to come up with designs that function with the different styles of poles they have. You know, unfortunately, in this case, that's the only way to do it. Really, is to match them on the top. You can't hang things that are going to be interfered with by the light and vice
right.
versa. The next one is very similar.
Okay, we'll go ahead to that one.
That's at Commonwealth Avenue and Mount Hood Road on the median. And it's really the same type pole. The antenna design is a little different. This site for whatever reason. Three antennas instead of, I guess, two beneath the one on the top. So three antennas instead of two. And the difference on that is just based on what the radio engineers need to do to cover the area they need to cover. and second to avoid having to install another one nearby. So that's that one. And you see there's a sign on the pole, so the city also requires us to replace the signs at the same height that they were at on the existing pole. So that's, you'll see on all of them that that's the way it works. And then the last one is Corey Road and Williston Road, and this is one of the concrete style lights. It's in the right of way on the sidewalk. There's a number of signs on this one that would be replaced. This shows a curved light fixture. Will is telling me that it really should show the light fixture coming out straight. The city doesn't replace these arms anymore, the curved arms. They actually do a straight line out to the pole to this light height.
Okay.
The mast arm for that. But other than that, this is actually kind of great.
Is this a series of lights? Like, is there a bunch of these same lights in a row there? Do you know?
The concrete ones, I don't
know. Yeah.
You're talking what's already there.
On that block.
Yeah, just on that. I'm just curious.
It's all those pendant style, the right pendant style, and also on Corey Road, it's the concrete.
Okay.
We have to, when Will starts this process, he has to go to the lighting department and get them to tell him what he's allowed to replace and not allowed to replace.
Right.
But I do know some of the boards where it's the last one in a series or something, they've asked us to change the design. I don't think this one's in that category.
What's the dimension of the base again? Do you know?
The base is, I think it's about 4.5. Yeah, four. This one's 4.8 inches high. They're roughly 4.5.
So
4 feet 8.
What I just mean the dimensions. Yeah, like what's the bait? Like what's the
width?
Yeah.
Well, remember the
it says 2 foot 6 inches.
Oh, that is a cross. Yep.
Yeah. 4.8 inches high.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Thank you.
And we have to look at these on the sidewalk so there's enough room for.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering about, because the other ones are not really pedestrian pathways. They're really kind of that median section. But I was just curious about how much more room this took up on the sidewalk.
It's a narrow sidewalk.
So what would that make the sidewalk with there?
Yeah, we're required to leave 4 feet, and typically we would leave 5 feet. I don't know, or
ADA. Yeah, okay.
So you're not infringing on any ADA requirement with this proposed.
We don't, and in fact, the commission reviews plans or has reviewed plans and discussed them with us when they've got concerns about them, but we didn't hear from them on that one.
Great,
so
perfect.
The commission that helped deals with ADA issues.
Yes, okay. I was trying to remember the name of the commission, but yes, the city's.
Yeah, that was the only issue I wanted to bring up. I don't have any issues with any of the other.
We just have something to see the comments.
Go ahead.
So while you're looking at those, I'll just, I'd like to just add something for the record.
Sure.
And that is, with the other districts, there's concern over the abandonment of the cabinets over time. The poles are owned by the city, and if the carrier no longer had a use for those cabinets, they would essentially be abandoned. So what the other commissions, and this is what I'm saying in my staff notes, so you don't have to read that, but what the other commissions are doing is they're approving the light poles with the antennas, and they're having the equipment installed on the side of the pole. And that way, if there was ever a time where the technology improved or the technology shrunk or there's no need for as much technology as there is now, they could simply remove it and it would look like a normal telephone pole. With these, you're going to have opportunities for vandalism. You're also going to have the opportunities for damage. And then if they were ever abandoned, they'd be these big cavernous things, most likely collecting trash. So That's my recommendation, is to approve them without the cabinet and have the equipment that's normally installed inside the cabinet installed on the pole. And yes, it is a little unsightly, but you're still going to get the decorative feel of the pole in reference to the Commonwealth Avenue poles. And you're going to keep the uniformity of the Commonwealth Avenue poles, because they're not varying in height any longer, with the exception of the antenna, of course. So something to think about, especially with the ComAv ones, because if you look down the avenue, they're all lined up and they're all uniform. And I think that's part of the characteristics of the district, is to see that beautiful sight line with it kind of sloping down. So something to think about.
No, I mean, I agree with that concern. And we approved some poles.
Yeah,
one is right in front of my building. And I'm sure the equipment is on the side.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's another thing for being consistent about what's in our district and
mm-hmm.
kind of having a consistent design
right.
within the district.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that because the base of the pole that's right in front of my building is, it's similar to this. It's got the decorative curved
mm-hmm.
base because the equipment's on the side. It's the whole thing's probably a little wider, that base a little wider,
yeah.
because it's still holding the equipment.
Yeah.
But
it's got the equipment, but if the equipment ever had
right.
to leave,
I mean,
you could just pop it right off
right.
or however they do it.
But wouldn't vandalism be as much as a concern with the equipment hanging on the side of the pole
it's
as it
really
would be in
they're
the
high
cabinet?
Up.
Are they
it's
high?
It's really high. Yeah. I mean, it's also...
So this is the standard for Beacon Hill, South End, Fort Point, and... there's one other district. St. Botolph. This is all we're approving in St. Botolph, were the ones that I recommended. And here is an example. Here I took this from the South End.
Is this the double? Is it the double pendant though on those? I know we've been asked to do it in the South End.
So
other
this
styles
is the,
of pole.
Yeah, this is like the Cobra head.
Yes.
So
right.
But
is,
we're
which
also
is a,
doing
which is a more robust pole. I guess one thing, and
yeah,
I don't know.
Talk
I mean,
to us about this.
Verizon will do. Whatever
right.
the city lets it do, and
right.
and you allow it to do, so that's not it's not an issue from that standpoint. There, a couple of problems I see with the double pendant, particularly, is how slender that pole is. If you're going to be hanging equipment off it, whether that's practical and whether it means you're going to have to bulk up the width of the pole, which I think is not something you would want to do. The other thing is, if you put equipment below these lights, you're blocking. I mean, the way these are designed, you're blocking the light at that level. I don't know how that works with the Cobra. I think the Cobra sticks out.
It does.
Farther, so it may not be as much of an issue with that one.
So this is standard for all of the styles that are approved by the city. So it's the decorative, it's the Cobra, it's the concrete-looking ones, it's
yeah.
all of them.
What about, are there any, in any of the other districts, are there, like, the
are
duplex,
there any double
like, double
yeah.
pendants?
Oh,
like
I'm
this?
Certain of it. Yeah, I can't
that's
think.
That's what I haven't seen yet, though. That's the thing. So anything the city... They approve sort of generic designs, right? And I know in the South End, for example, we didn't have an approved design for one of the ones where the equipment goes on the outside, and I guess they're working with the city to get that approved. Maybe it's
okay.
happened already. It's been a while. I would say if you and like I said, Verizon will do what the city allows
yeah.
it to do, but if you approve it this way, I would ask if you could put a contingency in there so that if the city is not going to approve that design... We have the
right.
option to come back to the base design without having to go back through permitting again. If we can get a double pendant design with...
I can't think of any that are the double pendant like that, but I know that we also do them to the double acorns with the upward facing
acorns.
Those
are going up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I would think that if they can do it with that, they can do it with these.
Who would be able to determine, let me say they, who would be able to determine?
Well, I have a contact in the Public Works
okay.
streetlights, and I can just give him a buzz and ask him if there's something comparable.
So my issue is when you're looking at line of sight with this,
mm-hmm.
I think having a big box in the middle is going to be more distracting to the line of sight than having a cabinet at the base is. Because
yeah.
I think the closer you move it up to those pendant lights, the more detracting from that
mm-hmm.
style it's
mm-hmm.
going to be. And so I think having that separation between where the equipment is and where the lights are keeps the focus on the lights, and you don't have kind of this big, massive thing. I definitely hear what you're
mm-hmm.
saying about kind of what's happening on the ground, but I almost think of it a little bit higher than that and what that So I think I would consider for the concrete one looking at something that's higher RUP. Mm-hmm. But I think in these I would be in favor of the cabinet style that's being proposed there.
I agree with you because the amount of equipment that has to go into that base, it's going to stick out like a large wart.
Even though
there are, there's this kind of equipment here that's being proposed as of now. So that's already there. That's going to go there regardless of.
Right. So it's and the way you're saying is get rid of this base and put something else here.
And for reference, the base that I've seen on, it's typically like this.
Yeah.
It looks like that. It is one-sided. It does look terrible.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to argue that.
Yeah.
But it's similar to this size. And then if you just look at the notes, so that's it right there.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
This big bulky thing right there. So yes, it does look bad, but it's your preference, whatever.
I'd be in favor of that for this one because then you're not taking up as much room on the sidewalk, which is an issue. And there's just the aesthetic of this pole is just different than the other one. With the concern of not necessarily even being able to put that equipment on a pole. I mean, I hear that there's both sides to this, whether you can or can't. But I would hate to have to then change that entire pole to fit this equipment when I think the solution is fine. The way
I'm
it's proposed
sure
there.
I'm pretty sure we can do it on this kind of difficulty, and I'm pretty sure the south end approved some with the equipment on the side.
Just because it's less aesthetic on that one. I mean, there's already signage, so there's already a lot going on there. Mm-hmm. That's my instinct.
I guess I can see both sides on this one.
Yeah.
You know, I just, you can think, they're going to, we're kind of set, we're setting this in, it's not going to go away. Like, that's really probably what people thought about.
What is the long-term planning, kind of? Do you see these becoming obsolete at some point?
Yeah, do they have an expected life span, or do you not really,
I don't know. Was the small cell build out is accelerating. I mean, this is the direction it's headed now. Away from the few towers and towards these smaller or lower height.
And so, say the equipment starts getting smaller the more advanced they get. What happens to these poles after that? Like, will the equipment get changed out on these and they'll keep becoming smaller? Or I'm just curious.
But see, if there's a big base, they'll probably put smaller equipment inside the big base and leave the big base there. But if you have a little canister and that gets smaller, they'll put like a smaller thing on the side of the pole.
So the base is the city's. So unless the cell company volunteers to replace them again, which it doesn't make sense why they would, then that base stays there. So even if the equipment becomes so small, they can tuck it into the pole. The city now owns that, so that cabinet is staying regardless if it's in use or not.
Yeah. How's this physically attached? Does the pole go all the way through the ground, or is it attached to the space?
Not this
one, but this one.
The pole is attached to the base, and then the base is attached to the foundation. It's not a pole.
So where in the city are the cabinet ones?
Oh, they're everywhere.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of them in Back Bay. There's one right outside City Hall. Yeah. So they're basically everywhere. The historic districts are starting to clamp down on them because they think they're too invasive to the streetscape.
Is what I've observed.
What have we approved previously for the district?
If you look in front of my building, we have
put a base in one, right?
It's one that's. The equipment's on the side, and the base, and it's a new base that's quite similar to this. It's probably a little bit bigger around. The whole pole might be a little wider to accommodate the equipment, but
what's your intersection?
1875 Com Ave and Central and Chestnut Avenue. 1875 Com Ave. Actually, it's a good I wish I had a photo of it because Google won't have the most up-to-date thing. The old pole was still there. Like, if I had a photo of it, I could show you them right by the side. In fact, the old pole was still there. You should look at it when you go home today because they haven't removed it yet, so you can see them comparatively.
Okay.
I mean, you know, the... Yeah.
It's not there yet.
See, that's right. And it's right next to that, and it's a base that's a little bit bigger, but not hugely bigger. And then the equipment is on the side, and, you know, it's clunky. There's no getting around that. We have to allow for this because we need to allow for technology, and
right.
There's no way that it's going to be perfect or you know, completely aesthetically pleasing.
In the south end, it was interesting. It was in there, it was a little over a year ago, I think, maybe even longer than that, and the equipment was in the base, and they were fine with the equipment being in the base, and the next time we went back, some of them they want on the side, some of them they want in the base, and they actually flipped some where we proposed it on the side to put it in the base, and some they put it on the side. It was contextual, is the way they
were.
Beacon Hill, I don't think, I haven't been.
We're not.
I haven't been on that one. Bat Bay, they did approve what we proposed, but they told us they prefer the ones with the equipment on the side, but it was not, we didn't have any that were this style. That's the only hesitation I have on that suggestion or that recommendation here is I just am not familiar with how we would do that. I'm not saying it can't be done or that it hasn't been done. I just am not familiar with it at all.
I mean, from your argument that I can see the point of is that, like, this is a line of the event that you can really see in a row. Like, that one in front of my building is just... Like the next light down, there's another light not that far away, but there's a lot of trees. Like you see that, it's not. You're in this sight line here with these.
And I'm not really so I get the argument, especially when it comes to sidewalks, about you don't want this cabinet being there forever because it's forever going to obstruct the sidewalk. Mm-hmm. But on the median strip, I'm just not that concerned about it. Just not that different for me from any of the other like 1,000 types of giant boxes that the city puts up on the sidewalk for things.
Traffic signal
box. Yeah, transformer, whatever. So my feelings would be do what's proposed for the first do, and for the third one, because it's on a side on a public sidewalk, do the equipment up higher because this base can tolerate that equipment. In a way that we don't know that can.
I want to make sure I understand what you're proposing. We're approving this
That's what I'm saying. I would do.
But for the Cobra light, there's already so much down here already.
Well, just for me because it's a sidewalk, and
I did wonder about that because I think it's a short block away from a school. And it's going to be across the street from some major development, which is out of the district, but that means theoretically more foot traffic. But I don't see any way around it.
Well, you move the equipment to a box on the side of it.
I mean. I don't see any way to avoid that because there's a street sign and a school zone. And
right, but it would sit above the street sign, right? It's high.
It would be up high.
Yeah.
It would be above that, fairly well above that end school zone and Corey Road sign, based on the one that's in front of my building.
Yeah, all right. I understand now. So it's
It's not that same 4 foot by.
It's not a square. It's not a square box.
No,
It's a thinner, wider box. Like a pizza box, but bigger.
Okay. Helen. Seem to be mulling something over.
Because you know, once we make a decision, it's kind of I like sort of consistency and having a plan.
I agree.
You know what I
mean?
And I guess to me the trade-off of this is you've got that sight line, and if you didn't do the one with the base, would the pole itself be larger, and would that? Which would disrupt the uniformity of the sight line?
I think that would disrupt the uniformity.
I mean, I guess I don't know the answer to the question, would the pole be bigger, but I'm thinking maybe it would be because I think the one in front of my building, I wish I had a photo of it, that are side by side. They've never taken the old one away and started using the new one. The street light, probably the cell phone is going, I guess, but the street light still isn't functional.
Crown is the only, Crown Castle is the only
So there's this one here, and then this one is at
the Mount Hood Road.
Mount Hood Road. So it's probably like, there's probably one or two of these holes in between those two.
Yeah.
From that, because like it's like two blocks apart.
Yes. So like.
This is a tangent, but I thought the city had plans overall to change all of the light poles from the Cobra to the tandem. Double banger.
I think it's based on where they're located. I'm not sure of their overall light plan, but you certainly have a say in your district, so whatever
the
you guys say goes.
The Cobra ones are not being replaced.
Yeah.
We know that, and what they're replacing them with, if they don't change it to a different style together, is one where the luminaire comes off the side at a right angle from the pole.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
And so just to have this for record, so I just received one letter of concern from a neighbor, a gentleman by the name of Philip Tackle, and he's concerned over aesthetic and visual pollution and talking about the risks of cell phone antenna radiation, which I don't know if... take a look.
Okay,
it's
so
all
we're going to enter that into the record. Who's it from?
Phil Tackle.
He was on the...
I do want to hear what he says, because he was on the study committee for creating this commission.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Are there radiation issues?
Well, not within...
That's what the question is in here, so...
You know, we comply with all the federal regulations, and they have to comply with the federal regulations.
Yeah, he has to say that. and we don't have any purview over...
That's not our purview anyway.
So,
right.
Yeah, I mean, the city is allowed to enforce the federal regulations.
Right.
Right.
By contract, we have to comply with those regulations. We've submitted information to the city on what the emissions from these are. We're happy to give
and
that to anybody who's concerned.
We have purview over the design guidelines for this district.
Right.
That's kind of outside of our realm.
Yeah.
But what does he say in terms of the...
Nothing. He says this is not an acceptable solution, not just for aesthetics and visual pollution, but no one's talking about radiation issues. Now, that's the other issue. When you put the equipment up higher, you're getting more in the way of people from their windows, right? Like, that's an issue with some of them that I think he's trying to bring up.
You know,
the thing
about the visual pollution is that we have to accommodate it somehow. Like, the technology is... Here, it's needed, it serves the public good. You know, there's no perfect solution that's going to be beautiful. You know, one way or the other, either the base is kind of clunky or the stuff is sticking off the pole and that. You know, I mean, we just have to kind of find like the best possible solution for allowing technology and public service with looking as nice as it can.
And
you can go both ways on that, for as far as the base and the whether having the base or having the facade.
And having them on rooftops, right? It doesn't work for small cells.
But for small cells, that's not really the way to do it. It's just too high off the ground.
That's what I'm just.
Like that's what we've had. That's on like the tall buildings.
Ava was suggesting that.
That raises other issues because there are more and more high rises.
Thank you.
Did she make any other point beyond
No, just that and the visual pollution or whatever that is. I still.
I'm willing to go along with this one here on the medium. I definitely think we agree on the Cobra. It would almost be good if we could just sort of take a walk around the district and, like, look at things and sort of going forward, have more of a plan and more of a prospective idea of what we want.
Well, it's like it does need to be a standard somehow so that we know what we're...
Right. So it's not mishmash. But on the other hand, I think some one of the commissions does... It is contextual. Like, you can say the context here on this median strip where you've got that sight line. Maybe making sure the poles are the same is more important than having one or two bases that are big. Mm-hmm. On the other sidewalk, the pole, the base is going to be disruptive to the sidewalk. So, I mean, there isn't...
Right.
I believe in consistency, but there's also an argument for the contextual.
Like,
you know, I'm willing to go along with this as they're proposing if you think that's the right thing.
I do. I think for line of sight and the way that those poles are set up along those medians, I think that's the better choice.
And I think we're agreed on.
Yeah.
The concrete one.
I mean, I just think there's a pedestrian.
Yes, I do too.
It seems like, even if it meets the regulation, it seems like a pretty narrow sidewalk.
Yeah.
It's just allowing more sidewalks.
Right. And there's not the issue of that pole not being able to support that equipment.
Right.
I think. So I would make a motion to approve the first two applications, the ones for Quarry Road and Williston Road, as well as Commonwealth Avenue and Mount Hood Road, approved as is, and then approve with provisos the final one that they do the alternate design on the Cobra light.
Okay.
With the equipment on the pole itself and not with the cabinet on the sidewalk.
That's the one on Quarry Road.
Yep.
Yes, that's the... Is it
Quarry?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Why does it say Sutherland?
That's
the Quarry. Oh, sorry, I got them wrong. Yes, you're right. So the two Commonwealth Ave ones are the ones that are going to go ahead as approved, and then the Quarry Road one is going to be the alternate design.
Okay,
I'll second it.
Okay.
Comments from the public?
Nope.
Okay, so Helen and Sharon,
yes.
And I will say yes. So we have unanimously voted to approve with provisos applications 20.682 AB, 20.681 AB, and 20.680 AB.
Perfect.
Thank you very much.
Great, thank you.
Thanks, guys. I'll get you a letter in a couple days, okay?
Okay, thanks so much.
Thanks so much. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Okay, so we'll now move on to administrative review and approval. We have one application, number 20.682 AB 123 to 129 Sutherland Road. At front facade, repair and repaint ornamentation in kind, spot point brick as needed. Mm-hmm. So does this fit within the guidelines of the district?
It does.
Can I just ask you about that? I should have walked by that site.
Want to bring it up?
Yeah, that'd be great.
What repainting ornamentation? We've gone through things where they like painted masonry that they're not supposed to, and made people remove paint from masonry detail.
Let's take a look.
Isn't that woman we had come in that time?
No, that was Lois Hill.
Oh, yeah.
So this is one of my favorites. I love this building. All right, let me grab the application.
Yeah, what's painted there at all?
What are they repainting?
That's what you're going to tell us in a second.
Because, I mean, if they're repainting something, we've made other buildings unpainted.
It doesn't look like anything's painted there.
You know.
So this masonry here is what's being painted here, because this is painted existing. So they're repainting this.
Oh, all of this
all
is
of
painted?
See this, right? Look closer. If you look closer,
yeah,
you can
see. Yeah, I see it's chipping now.
Yeah. So they're going to scrape and repaint all of that. All of that.
What's the underneath?
Painted before?
But painting
masonry
the thing is
an
issue. Painting masonry is like not, I think if we look at the guidelines, it's not permitted. And we've actually had buildings, you know, that, like they painted the masonry and then it was a violation. It was reported there was a violation with the issue. We made them remove paint.
Mm-hmm. So... So it was painted. It looks like it's been painted since the district was formed. Obviously, that wasn't that long ago. So it can be the paint can be removed, but it's going to be a pretty extensive process, and it's going to be rather laborious to do
that.
Is that whole first? Yeah.
I mean, it's not just those columns and that detailing. It's the entire.
Entrance.
The door surround that whole door.
Exactly. Yeah.
you know, I'd want to be really careful about this because of
the setting a precedent.
Masonry painting issue that we have cited violations for.
At least two buildings we've made remove.
Yeah.
That, there's
I'm trying to figure out what kind of masonry it is, because under the paint it looks like it's like brick colored, no? If you look like up in the middle portions?
Here? You think
no,
here?
Yeah, like up there, right?
It's probably a brown stone or a limestone color.
Can we find out more about what's under that paint before we...
For consistency.
I mean, we can't make them strip the paint, but we can tell them not to repaint it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, and then it's just going to stay like this.
That's what's going to stay like
right.
that. Right.
It's hard to tell when it was. It looks like it could have been painted before the district
existed
entirely.
Looks like it's going to look better if we painted it anyway. But
yeah.
Formed.
But I'm sure that's exactly what the lady on
the No, I know. About. I know. I hear you.
So the guidelines specifically say, and bear with me, I'm still learning guideline. It says, to best preserve masonry materials, paint removal or allowing existing paint on a masonry surface to weather is in most cases preferable to repainting. Removal of paint from masonry surfaces shall be by the mildest method feasible.
Yeah. I don't think you're going to be able to remove all of that paint, but we can say, you can't repaint it.
Yeah.
You say you can't repaint it, but you are permitted to remove it.
The problem is, what happens when you start patching up all that stuff and you can't repaint it? What's that going to start to look like?
I think that was probably the rationale behind don't paint the masonry in the first place.
Right. It's to see the different slight modifications of a building over time to show that it's actually a historic building.
Mm-hmm. So is this column portion in addition to the original building?
No, this
not.
Is the original.
Okay.
Yeah. And you can see, it looks like, from what I can see, it looks like it has been repainted a couple times, especially down here. It looks like, sorry, I'm not a computer PC person. Maybe that's it. Yeah, that's a crack.
Yeah.
But...
So, like, when they start filling in that crack and repointing everything, what does it end up looking like?
And not to mention the pollution on its upper levels.
Like, yeah. But I really don't want to start approving painted masonry.
Yeah.
Because I think that's a real slippery slope that we have before from
starting. And then it's like, you know, when in a couple, 20 years, and you need another coat, and then you start having multiple
coats. Actually, given how rough our weather is,
you start losing the details.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like the same thing. It's like inside a brownstone on all the
woodwork
inside.
So are you going to lose it, too, if you try and strip that paint off? Are you going to lose some of those... details? Like, was the original intent for it to be painted?
No.
Or was the original intent for it to be bare, right?
Yes.
The original intent was it to be bare.
Should we see if it can be removed without sacrificing?
But see, the thing is, I think we can allow them to remove the paint, but I don't think we can require them to remove the paint.
Right.
That's correct.
We can suggest to them. We can tell them that we don't approve.
That their two options are.
Yeah, they may not repaint it, but we would permit them to remove it, that staff could give them guidance on what methods to use, because I'm assuming we'd be able to give that kind of information to help them use the most, the least intrusive method possible, or whatever, the feasible, or whatever that said.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I get that people won't like that, that they'll think it looks messy, but mm-hmm. I don't know, there's, you know, you get into multiple layers, and then when they start peeling back, you know,
and then they
multiple levels of things that are messy.
Right.
Yeah.
So say this paint really can't be removed. The only option is then that it just dilapidates and continues that way. And we need to consider, is that the aesthetic that the district wants as well?
Well, the trouble with painting masonry is that it's always been a quick fix.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, dyeing your hair, and 6 weeks later you've got to do the roots again.
Mm-hmm.
except with the masonry it takes longer, and with New England weather it takes longer. I think all factors considered that we'd be better off allowing it to weather to its original natural state. This is not Disneyland, this is New England, and it's an old town, and the weathering of all of the different materials that are used in the buildings contributes to the appeal of the whole neighborhood. So it's like when you start out with bright, shiny, golden brown teak, and then it weathers to a silvery gray. Mm-hmm. Some people really like the new, and others love the old silvery gray.
Right. But it also needs to be repaired. And so then, again, my question is, what does it look like once you start adding those repairs in?
You know, my building on our Chestnut Avenue facade, back where we were in masonry art restoration, at the ground level, you know, we needed to do some repairs, and we did colored match tests and got the color that was as close as we could get. And you can tell the repair, because it's not the same color, the whole building's not, you know what I mean, because of weathering.
Right.
Yep.
And so, does it look perfect? No.
So do you match it to the color of the paint that we're hoping weathers away, or do you match it?
No, you match it. I think you match it to the main thing. If ours had been painted, it had been painted a long time ago, so we weren't matching paint. We were just dealing with cracks and gouges in the masonry, and just matching as well as we could, but just even without having been, and maybe haven't painted years ago, but then removed. Mm-hmm. But you know, different sections of the wall are slightly different colors. But we didn't get all different colors of patching material. We just picked the one that seemed like the best overall.
Right.
And yes, if you look at my building, you can see places where, it was patched because it's over 100 years old.
My building was repointed this past summer too, and it wasn't. It was spot repointing, but we had to do all of the entire rear, and Masons are pretty good about matching the pointing colors, so it's not glaringly obvious. And after a while, your eyes sort of adjust.
So we can approve the repair and the repointing, the spot point on the brick, in accordance with the colors of the original masonry, but not allow repainting.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And advise the applicant that they may allow it to weather, or they may pursue non-invasive ways to remove masonry paint, and they can talk with staff about those options.
And if they're not happy with that, they can appear at the next hearing.
Right.
Because they're probably not going to start painting now, it's too cold.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
so that would be fine.
They have time.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to make a motion to approve with provisos that they can go ahead, repair, and spot point the brick in the appropriate color of the original masonry, but that repainting will not be allowed, that the applicant can pursue either gentle paint removal in accordance with the district guidelines and staff recommendations, or they can leave the paint to naturally weather itself as is. So I have a second?
Second.
Okay, Helen?
Yes.
And Sharon?
Yes.
And I will say yes. So we have unanimously voted to approve with provisos application 20.682 AB 123 to 129 Sutherland Road.
Perfect.
Okay, we will ratify the August 8th, 2019 minutes. Have commissioners had a chance to review? I will do so now quickly. Mountain Road.
I move to approve.
Make a motion to approve?
Yes, I'm making a motion to approve.
Second.
Okay, Sharon?
Yes.
Helen?
Yes.
Yes. Natalie voted to ratify the August 8, 2019 hearing minutes. Staff updates, I believe, is next.
Couple things.
Yep.
So the commissioners. So I had a meeting with City Council where I had to present the urgency for reappointing our commissioners and appointing new ones, and they now understand that urgency, and they're working hard to get them appointed. They have the nominations in their office. They're with Michelle Wu as we speak. She just needs to make a hearing date where they're actually appointed at the City Council meeting. So that's all we're waiting on.
Do we know how many commissioners are in the pipeline for this district?
I believe there are two.
Two?
Because we have two vacancies, so both are being filled, you're saying.
Yes. and the frustrating thing about that is we found out through the newspaper. If you look it up online, you can probably find them.
Who they are or what the process was? Were they nominated? What was the...
Everything.
What, look it up. What source?
I believe it was... I'll email you the link.
Okay.
I don't remember that which one it was. Maybe we can note of that.
Thank you.
So, yes. And then, Helen, you mentioned that property on Beacon Street.
Yeah.
So, the record...
But you're right, we have a proof.
Check out the one.
Yeah.
Their address is Brighton. And
for some reason, I thought we didn't go across the street. I know we did that CVS one time, but I thought that was just like
Dunkin'
a formality.
Donuts. The Dunkin' Donuts is in Boston.
But we didn't view that 2001 comment.
So
for the antennas.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
for the port, for the boxes.
For like sell things on
right.
The
and an elevator box. Some other sort of box.
Like HVAC stuff or something.
Yeah.
Comm Ave or Beacon Street?
Beacon Street.
Beacon Street.
Yeah. I should say Comm Ave.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, sir.
2002 Beacon Street is in the district, but 2001 is not. And to further show you, where am I going? Boston.gov. Boston Assessors. Database.
That must be across the street.
Yeah, that
right.
Must be something. That must be like
city size or something.
Or CV, not set, yeah, 7-Eleven.
GNC.
7-Eleven.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, this is,
yeah.
This is a 7-Eleven building.
End.
Yeah,
we'll
that's
all the
one.
The end. Yeah.
Yeah. But you're right, we have, but I, now that you say it, I don't think our district extends to that side of Beacon Street.
I've always thought that building was in our district.
Well, we've had to look at them before. Oh, yeah.
So this is Dunkin' Donuts.
Yeah.
And then these two are gone. I think they're just nothing buildings. And this is the building in question. That's Brookline. Hang on one second.
It's so weird because that's not really where the building goes. The building actually goes all the way down here and extends this whole space.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right, those are like parking lots now.
And then let's just do it. So this is the city data map.
So maybe we reviewed things
that we didn't
actually
need
in
to.
The district.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just cell phone stuff or HVAC stuff or something. It wasn't.
We may have done it with a, yeah.
Let's see.
You're right, because we have looked at the lines of sight to the tops of the building before. Yeah.
We definitely did.
I just want to show you real quick. Sorry, this is a brand new computer. Where are we? We're still here. Do I go out a little bit? Oh, this is... Okay, here's Brookline.
I can't even tell what those boxes...
Oh, here it is. Okay. Where are we? All right. Pond. So, all of the items in black are City of Boston parcels. And all of the items that are not in black are not part of Boston. So, is it this building?
Yeah, the problem is that's not really where the building is. So
this one.
Yeah, it's that.
It's that one. Yeah, it is that one. Yeah.
And it's coming up.
That has it listed there as Chestnut Hill Ave.
But is that 02135? Is that your zip code?
Yeah.
Strange.
The green thing is, like, I think the MBTA garage.
Yes, it is, yeah.
Yeah.
Which is what you can see on here. This is the MBTA area.
Not garage, but...
So this building...
Depot.
Yeah. Yeah, that building there.
See, to me, that looks like...
It is. Because actually, the Dunkin' Donuts is, like... Imagine there was a line across here. This is the Dunkin' Donuts, and this is the other building.
So it's not even showing up on this map.
Well, I think this is, like... Yeah, not really.
Oh, so you're saying that this might be actually two buildings, maybe.
Well, it looks like this. So here's, in the actual map, it looks like this. I think they're showing this as one building right here. And this is the building we're talking about.
So it is in the district.
Yeah, I do think so, yeah. Yeah, because this is part here.
See how they're kind of shrouded?
Mm-hmm. Right, this is like the depot for the train here.
Got it.
Here. Mm-hmm. And this building we're talking about is this one right here, which they're... Yeah, this image is just showing us one building.
So, okay. Well, that is a violation then.
Great! Woohoo! We solved it!
It looks like it is in the district, but I have conflicting information, and that is a violation.
And I mean, they're probably just doing some kind of masonry work or something, but it still should be reviewed.
Absolutely.
And so, I have one other question, actually, try to be quick, but right there in that same thing. Cityside is doing repair work, masonry repair, and I'd sent a photo. This was before you were our staff person. Maybe this is a long time ago, like even in the summer, maybe. I sent a, and I can resend this to you. Yeah, I'd sent a note to Joe Cornish when he was handling our district, and he got back to me and said that they'd had an emergency repair. Water was coming in behind that. They'd applied for emergency application. That's why we had not reviewed it. So then they had a long period when they weren't doing it. They were probably waiting for something to get manufactured or something. So now they've restarted the restoration work. There's just, again, there's a shrouding there, so you can't see what they're doing. But I just want to make sure, because our commission did not review the repair application, I just want to make sure they actually have submitted a plan. There's those, do you know Cityside? Do you know that building?
I know it well.
Yeah, there's those Gothic corner sign at the commercial level.
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
He knows it well.
Sorry.
There's that Gothic corner sign above the commercial level of the building. And some of those panels that got removed for this, because of the water intrusion.
Yeah.
So I want to make sure that they have a plan in place so that they're restoring or replacing in kind those panels, because we didn't review it.
That's David Lapidus too, right?
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
He's appeared before us often enough to know.
Right. But that doesn't mean, right. Knowing and complying are two different things.
Yeah. Right?
Exactly.
So I just want to make sure that they, because we didn't review it, I want to make sure that they, and now they have started, I meant to take another photo, but I'm always in a hurry when I'm on the way to work. and it's dark when I come home. But I just want to make sure they actually have a plan that is complying with the guidelines, and they're restoring it to how it was before, and not just doing something different. And I don't want to wait till the work is done to find out.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's behind a shroud, so you can't really see.
If Joe reviewed it, I'm not concerned, but I'll double check with him, and I'll pull the file to see if we can see what's going on there. And then I will issue a violation to these people. Yeah.
It's kind of funny because they came before us for the maybe it's a different management segment
possibly.
Or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they came to us for the stuff on the roof.
Yeah. So okay.
Okay.
That's all I have.
I'm gonna make a motion to adjourn if we don't have any additional questions or staff updates.
No.
Do we have a second? Okay, Sharon?
Yes.
Helen?
Yes.
And I say yes, so we have officially adjourned the hearing of the Aberdeen Architectural Conservation District Commission for January 9th, 2020.
Great. Now let me just get this stuff. Oh, one second, sorry.
It's a wave.